Hey everybody, it's Pastor Andy, our youth pastor here at Planet Shakers in Melbourne, Australia. I'm excited to be bringing you the word from Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. The word of the Lord for us today is that it's not over yet. Be blessed as you listen today. Well, we should get to the word of God if we haven't already. I'm taking some of that as the word of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. It's so good to have you with us here, Ezekiel chapter 37, as you're turning there. I really want to encourage you. Who was a Planet Shakers Awakening? Most of us would have been. If you weren't, you should get the recordings of the sessions. And even if you were, please don't move on from it too quickly. It would be a tragedy for God to deposit what He deposited in my life and in your life and to do something to that degree and for us to just take it and leave it as a nice memory and a nice experience back in March/April of 2016. It would be a tragedy to receive all of that and go back to how it was the week prior to awakening. God never turns up in our life and moves in our life the way that He did to leave us the same way. He expects and anticipates that we will take and that we will squeeze dry everything that He would be doing in our life at something like Planet Shakers Awakening. You ought to be living in the overflow. You ought to be living in the overflow. Which means there ought to be an overflow of agreement in this 11:30 service. It means there ought to be an overflow in your praise and worship. It means there ought to be an overflow of hunger for God in every opportunity that you get. Am I preaching to the right crowd here today? Man, when you're living in the overflow, you don't just leave it as a one-off experience. You take everything you can get. Preaching from Ezekiel 37 today is simply coming from what was already preached, but coming as I hungered after God to look through my notes to say, Holy Spirit, what are You continuing to speak to me about? What do You want to keep drawing out of these scriptures and out of these words for me today? And as I felt Him speak to me, I realized it wasn't just for me today. And so I want to read for you to you from Ezekiel 37 as we go there. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ezekiel 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass around about amongst them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley, and behold, they were very dry. Somebody say, very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You alone know. And again, He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you will know, understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as Pastor Art said, as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked and beheld, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath or spirit in them. Then He said again to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man. Say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me. And the breath of spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up on their feet. An exceedingly great host, they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great host. I want to encourage you really just from a quick thought this morning around the subject that it's not over yet. It's not over yet. I felt God drop this into my spirit this week, and I felt that He was wanting to say it to us too this morning. And I don't know what it is that you're facing and perhaps have been facing for a long time. It might be a particular financial struggle. It might be a lost family member that's away from Jesus. It might be a situation in your life that needs reconciling. It needs to be set straight, and it hasn't been, and you might be frustrated. It might feel like there's no hope for those things, but I have the word of the Lord for us this morning is that it's not over yet. It's not It's not over yet. And I feel Holy Spirit wanting to bring things to our remembrance even after we might have had an awesome week and God might have spoken to you about so many things. He wants to bring some things to our remembrance this morning, some dreams that we let go of a long time ago, some things that we once had faith for. There was a flame of faith flickering on the inside of us. We had the hope to believe that, God, you could do that, and yet time had a way of wearing that thin in our lives. And maybe it's been a while since you stirred your own hope and stirred your own faith to believe for that thing again. And this morning, God is saying, it's not over yet. It might seem hopeless, it might seem distant, it might seem void of potential and void of life, but I want to tell you, businessman, I want to tell you, family man, family mom, I want to tell you, young person, university student, I want to tell you that no matter what you are facing, no matter how dead it might seem, no matter how much it might seem you're scanning across a valley of dry bones, the word of the Lord to you this morning is that it's not over yet. So to every disappointment, to every unanswered question, to every frustration, to every unhealed body, to everything, every situation that seems to defy kingdom order, to everything that will not change and will not shift and seems to stand outside, no matter how long you've prayed about it and how long you've fought for it and how much it might seem you tried to pick it up again and tried to believe again, to every situation that seems like it will not, listen to the word of God, hear the word of God again for us today. The word of the Lord is, it is not over. It is not over. It's not over yet. I was reminded of that this week. We Susanna and I we needed to we just, you know, finished awakening and we did what people need after awakening, especially being involved in running it. We needed some rest. Hello, somebody. Man, we needed some rest, and we decided we need to go to a place. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to see anybody. We don't want to think. We want to forget about everything. We decided to go to the place where you can forget about everything and not have to see anybody and do nothing at all. We went to Tasmania. Come on, somebody. I'm so glad for the places where there are so much to do, so much to see, but praise God for the places where there's so much not to do. Man, we needed a holiday, and the holiday that we needed is just one small word called sleep. Man, I'd just be happy for a little bit more sleep in my life. Can I get a witness? Anybody just praise God? The thing I'm believing for the most is just a little bit more sleep. I've discovered sleep is a lot like worship. By the time I finally enter into it, I think, why don't I do this all the time? Surely this is the answer to everything that I'm going through. I just need a little bit more sleep. We went and we had a small holiday with family. No, it was awesome. I actually grew up in Tasmania, and so we went there to see my family and to definitely get some sleep. And it was awesome. But there's something about, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, there's something about revisiting a place or a space that you know was once your reality. There's something about revisiting a place. It could be a geographical spot, you know, it might be a place you once lived, or it could just be a space in which you once lived. It might be in a position that you once held, a relationship you were once in, or a struggle that you once felt caught up in. But there's something about revisiting a place that was once your reality. And I know that we're Christians and we don't really focus on the past too much, but every now and again, by the grace of God, I believe that He sets things up to deliberately allow us to revisit something that was once our reality. And the first reason I believe that He allows us to do that is so that we would become refreshed and encouraged in our faith to realize, wow, I came from that. It's not necessarily that that was bad. It's not necessarily that that was a mess. It's just awesome to see, because sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day journey and don't buy into the lie that you're not going anywhere, that you're not growing in God, that you're not triumphant and not winning those victories. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it takes a moment of revisiting something to realize, thank God, I'm not where I once was. Is there anybody grateful in this place that you are not where you once were? You don't live in the position, you don't live in the struggles, you don't live in the reality and with the reality that you once had. Something about being in that place made me realize that it was funny because my parents still live in the same house. They, you know, everything's the same. It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever had an experience. You can walk into a place and it's like you haven't been thinking about it lately, but in a moment, I mean, I could just smell the carpet and immediately be hit with like 1,000 different memories and their corresponding feelings. Man, I knew everything about it. The clock ticking in the kitchen still sounds the same. Everything smells the same. The floorboards on the inside of the rooms, they still creak the same. I know where to tread and where not to tread to not wake somebody up. Everything's the same. I would go into my bedroom and the same things are still up on the wall. Why did I hang them up on the wall? I have no idea. But apparently it mattered to me at one stage. Things are still the same. And it's amazing how you can get in that place and you realize, wow, I've come somewhere. God, you brought me from somewhere. It's good because seeing the room in which I grew up, I mean, it's not a bad place. It was in that room I encountered God. It was in that room that I felt God call me. I've got great memories of that place, but something about it made me realize, wow, I didn't necessarily come from much. It's really, really normal. I begin to think about 1 Corinthians 1. It says, brothers, not many of you were much when he called you. Come on, somebody. Not many of you were much when he called you. And that began to refresh me and encourage me because I realized that if I wasn't much when he called me and he didn't call me because I was much and I didn't make it that far because I was anything much at all, it must have been by his grace. Then it makes me realize that I didn't make it here because I was much either. It's all been by his grace. And that gives me the faith to realize that the rest of this journey, it's still not about what I can bring. It's still not about how professional I might feel or how good at this faith life I might be. Galatians 3, don't be fooled after starting this journey in the Holy Spirit. Don't be fooled to think that you can finish it by your own works. Something about revisiting a place, and I revisited this place and I began to realize Holy Spirit was speaking to me about some unfinished battles. Have you ever revisited some place in your life and realized there was some unfinished business, some things that you left, some things that at one stage you had the faith for, but maybe you left them there and maybe your faith grew around them and you learned to deal with them and you learned to just go on anyway, but God in his grace brings you back to some of those unfinished battles. I began to realize I was there, and it's not like I guess I hadn't been conscious of it every day, but one simple thing God was reminding me of, that one particular member of my family, she's away from God. She's been away from God for a long time now, and currently at the moment still is, but that's okay because now I see that the dry bones can live. But I was there and I was complaining to God about this. I'm saying, God, this is not fair. It doesn't make sense. I've been praying for this for years and haven't been thinking about it lately, but now that I'm confronted with the reality still, it's still not changing. And I guess my faith has learned that this is just my reality. Church, there are so many things that we learn to just live with as our reality, and we learn to grow our faith kind of around them. I can believe God for that. I can believe God for healing in somebody else, but I've just learned to live with this limp. Hello, somebody. I could learn to believe God to see salvations down the front of a church service, but when it comes to my own family, I've just learned to live with the limp, so to speak. I've just learned to live with the fact that this is just how things are. And I know that you've probably never felt this before, but I'm just being real with you today. It's important to be honest in church. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a moment with God where I was admitting to him, God, I cannot see this changing. I cannot see this circumstance changing, getting any better, getting any different. It seems void of potential. Maybe at one stage I could have seen how it might happen, how it could have happened, but time has had its way, wearing down my faith in this area. I began to think about Ezekiel 37. The valley of dry bones, even that word there, dry, it literally means bleached by exposure to the elements. Dry bones. They're not even just wrecked. They're not even just lying there on the ground. They're dried. They're being dried out by exposure to time, exposure to the elements, exposure to the atmosphere of doubt and disappointment and frustration, exposure to the atmosphere of unanswered prayer, exposure to the atmosphere of just getting used to things. And I know that you're unbelievable, and I know that God always moves in your life, but I'm just preaching to myself here. There are some areas in my life that every now and again it feels like dry bones bleached. Man, completely void of any potential. Maybe it was there once, but as the sun's beating down on that thing every day after day after day after day, and you're still living with that unhealed situation, and you're still living with that unreconciled family situation, and you're still living with that dream that you once had, but it's buried in there somewhere. Dry bones. And I felt God asked me, as he asked Ezekiel, such a simple statement, but he always is speaking to us through questions. I felt God asked me the question, son of man, what do you say? Can these dry bones live? What's your verdict? What's your call on the matter? What do you say about the situation? Of course, God knows the answer. Of course, God could have said it. Of course, God could have called it. But he's always looking for people, his people to partner with. He's always looking for people to involve in the miracle. He's always looking for somebody that he can say, you be the voice and I'll be the breath. I want to involve you in this miracle. I want to know, what do you say about this situation? Can these try bones live? I felt God speak to me and say, Andy, the reason that I brought you out first, the reason that you are now turning around praying about this situation, is not because I care about you and don't care about them. It's not because I died for you and didn't die for them. It's not because my mercy has chosen you over them. It's because maybe you are the investment for the rest of the miracle. Come on, somebody. Maybe you are not just involved in the miracle, maybe you are the investment for the rest of the miracle. I began to think about it. Maybe it's not so much so that God has given me an impossible situation, so much as it is that he has given an impossible situation me. Oh, you didn't get that. When you understand that you're the investment for the miracle, you begin to change your perspective on what it is that you're going through. You stop complaining about why you have an impossible situation, and you start to hear the impossible situation thanking God on behalf of the miracle, because God gave that impossible situation you. I mean, you could ask him for finances. He could provide finances for you. That would be a miracle for you if he gave finances to you. But if he wanted to partner with you, to involve you in a miracle, then maybe God would give finances you. Providing finances for you might be your miracle. But when you understand that you're an investment for the miracle, then you understand that God doesn't give me finances. God gives me to finances, because I am the investment for the miracle. Say amen, somebody. The reason that God has brought me out first, think about this. We heard this scripture all through Awakening, if you were there, Judges chapter 6, all about Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. It speaks to me because he talks about being the least of the weakest of the smallest, and I can relate to some of that. He talks about not being much when God called him. But I don't know if you've ever zoomed out and had a look at it, but the story is not so much just about this man Gideon. It's about the story of how it was the Moabites harassing the people of Israel, and the people of Israel humble themselves and cry out to their God, and God responds, because that's our God. He always responds when his people turn and cry out to him. And how does God respond? Does he swoop down and save the whole nation in one foul swoop, just in one go? He just comes, steps in as their savior. Oh no, God responds by visiting one man. And in a sense, he looks at this one man and he says, I know you don't think you're much, And it's not because I've chosen you and have rejected the rest of Israel. It's not because my mercy is reserved for you. My love and my grace are reserved for you. I'm just choosing you as an investment for the rest of the miracle. I'm choosing to save Israel, but I'm going to choose to do it by encountering one person first. And that one person is the investment for the rest of the miracle. That's why somebody, he saved you first out of your family. That's why he gave you the situation that you're going through. It's not to frustrate you. It's for you to realize that you need to speak to those tripones. Yeah, so good. So good. I'm a leader now. Well, I try to be. And I understand it's leadership. I look for young leaders to raise up. And the best way that I can raise up young leaders is to invest into them. I want to be a good investor. I look for the people that have the hand of God on their life. And I could invest my time. I could invest my resource and my energy. But those that I really recognize potential on, the best investment I can make is to invest myself into them. Well, God's a good investor as well. He doesn't make bad investments at all. And God says, I can so recognize the potential for a miracle. He says, I want to get personally involved. That's why Ephesians 1 says, he has given you the Holy Spirit as a down payment for the rest of glory. Come on, somebody. That's why he says, I'm going to give you. Who's Holy Spirit? Myself. I'm going to invest myself into this person. I'm going to invest myself because that person is the investment for the rest of the miracle. Come on, if you understand that God wants to do a miracle through you, not just in you, go ahead and give him praise just for a moment right now. You are the investment for the rest of the miracle. And I felt God say, Andy, maybe this whole situation has been waiting for you to turn around. Stop complaining about it. Stop asking me to do something about it. Investment. Maybe this whole situation has been waiting for you to turn around and speak to those dry bones. You bring the voice, I'll bring the breath. You say the words, you begin to prophesy to situations that are not as though they were. You begin to speak life into situations that seem death, and I will bring the breath. I will bring the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of the Lord that brings life. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. It's not just a refresher that you need. It's not a change in circumstances that you need. It's the Holy Spirit breathing over those circumstances that will see them turn around. It's the Holy Spirit breathing on your family that will see that family turn around. It's the Holy Spirit breathing on your business, sir, that's going to see that circumstance change. It's the Holy Spirit breathing on this infirmity, it's going to see the impossible be made possible. You bring the voice, I'll bring the breath. I felt God say, Andy, I've known a few death situations myself. I've known a few dead and buried situations myself. Nails firmly planted, sign above my head, verdict being given, sentence handed down. But it's not over yet. I might have said it was finished, but I never said it was over. I know a few dead and buried situations myself. I know what it's like to have a rock rolled in front of the tomb. I know what it's like to have disciples go home and deny you. I know what it's like to have the crowd disappear and darkness come over the land, but it's not over yet. I felt God say, I'm not intimidated by dead situations and buried situations, Lazarus. I'm not intimidated by wasted opportunities. Peter, who denied Christ, I'm not intimidated by all of your mess ups and all of your mistakes and all of your reasons why not. And even though I should have left you, maybe, and even though I could have left you, maybe, woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, it's not over yet. I'm not intimidated by your timeline, Abraham. I'm not intimidated by the window of opportunity that might have come and has since gone. I'm not intimidated by when people say you're a has-been or when people say it's time to go home, it's all over. I'm not intimidated by the whispers of the crowd or by the rumors of what people say. I'm not intimidated by how your body might feel. I'm not intimidated by what anybody else has to say about the matter. It's not over yet. He's the master of resurrection. He's got a doctorate in it, actually. Wrote a thesis on it, actually. He knows a thing or two about resurrecting dead situations. And he said, even if the siren has sounded, three counts and you're down. Even if the dream has long gone, even if your body is still unhealed, even though we're just a week out from awakening and he might have spoken a whole lot of things to you, for some reason, the word of the Lord for you this morning is it's not over yet. Family situation, it's not over yet. Financial situation that seems like it will not change. Dry bones. It's not over yet. I felt him say, speak to these dry bones. And there was a moment walking along praying. I preached about it before. That's how I do things. Walk along praying. Complain a bit, then pray a bit. Complain a little bit more. Come on, somebody. Then pray a little bit more. And a moment as I'm walking along where I suddenly realized, I've prayed about this. I've complained about this. I need to turn around and face these dry bones. And I need to say, I need to summon some courage. And I need to begin to dream again. And I need to begin to see what God sees and say what God says over this situation. I began to speak to some dry bones and see things that are not as though they were. And even though I feel self-conscious because nothing's changing, even though it seems a little bit ridiculous because I know how unlikely it seems, but I'm not basing this off any reasonable hope. I'm basing this on an unreasonable hope. I'm basing this on an unreasonable faith on the inside of my spirit. And so it's from that faith that I'm speaking today to say, dry bones, you will live. Dry bones, it's not over. There's still life. Spirit of God, I begin to prophesy to those dry bones. You will stand up. There's life left in you. We haven't seen the last day. God is going to yet turn this situation around. Come on, somebody. I begin to prophesy to my situation. And today, pretty simple. But if there is a dead situation in your life, if there is a lost hope, a lost dream, if there is something that seems like it's remaining unchanging in this place as everybody stands to their feet, I want us to get ready to speak to some dry bones, some dry valleys in our life, because it's not over yet. If that's you, if there's a dry air in your life, I want you to step out from where you're standing today. Come and fill this altar, because we have some unfinished business, somebody.
Hi, it's Russell Evans here. I'm so excited that you joined us today. We pray that this sermon and the ministry was a blessing to you. Why don't you subscribe to Planet Shakers on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook, download our app. We want to connect with you and we really want to see you empowered to make a difference in your world. Have a great day. You are a Planet Shaker.